Lord. Boy, I don't know about you, but I needed that. In some ways, it's almost like a baptism. You know, you get immersed again in the glory of God. You get immersed in just the wonder of his love. We sang about his love today. Crystal picked out songs about the name of Jesus, how powerful the name of Jesus is, how amazing the name of Jesus is, how wonderful, right? And we're here just to worship God. And you know what? Just let it out. Just let it out. Don't hold back. You can come here and do this if you want. You can put your hands up. You can still fight with God. You can go, I don't want anything to touch me. Just stay away from me. That's all right. No one's going to touch you. But God wants to he just wants you to know he loves you. He wants you to know he understands. He knows what you're going through. You know, you're thinking today, I'm going through so much hard junk in my life. He understands that. He knows it. He knows your poverty. He knows your addiction. He knows your anger. He knows what you're worried about. You're worried about your kids. You know, you're worried about who knows what. He knows. There's nothing that God doesn't know. And you're not here by an accident today. You're here because he called you here. And we really believe that. He calls us. He compels us to come in. He says, just come. Come to me. Come to the altar, and I'm going to give you rest. And I don't know about you. Maybe you don't need rest. If you don't need rest, that's great. I envy you. But maybe you need rest today. Maybe you just need to sit at the feet of Jesus and say, you know, I'm tired, God. I am sick of this. I'm tired. It's overwhelming. It's too stressful. I cannot carry this any longer. And he says, just come to me and I will carry it for you. That's the good thing about me, God says, is that I'm pretty big. I'm pretty strong. There's nothing I cannot do. And what seems impossible to you is possible for me. And if God is for us, what does it say? Who could be against us? So maybe you come here today and you go, you know, there's so many people, so many things, so many bills, you know, so much stuff that's against me, I'm overwhelmed. Well, if God's for you, you know, nothing like that can stand against you. And that's what I want to proclaim today. We got so, this is exciting. I don't know if you can tell this or not. I think many of you can, but God's here. His Spirit is here. The Spirit of God's moving here. If you question, you know, is God real? Just hang around. Don't leave. If you leave, you can leave. But, you know, I was thinking about that this morning. It's kind of like going to a hockey game, and the game scored 0-0, and it's going into overtime, and you go, okay, well, I got to go home. It's 11 o'clock. I got to work tomorrow. Yeah, no one does that, right? No one. They stick around. They stick around. So I'm going to encourage you to stick around, because God's really here today. He's here all the time, but I know that God wants to minister, and he wants to bring healing, and he wants to encourage us today. Amanda, why don't you come up? And I need that handheld mic. I don't know where that mic went to. It's on the stand. Well, that would be a good place for it to be. I just don't see it. Oh, on the music stand. Okay. I need all the help I can get. So this is Amanda. Amanda is growing in her prophetic gifts. Yeah, you can clap at her. Okay. And she sent me a word that God had given her this week. And, you know, that's one of the ways that God speaks. The primary way that God speaks to us is through his word. We love God's word, and we know God's word is always true. But he also speaks through us, and we're a body of Christ, and he gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of those gifts is a prophetic word or a prophetic gift, or sometimes it's a word of knowledge, and it's just the way God sometimes speaks through an individual to the body, to the rest of us. And then when we get that word, we weigh it. We decide whether it's really from God, and we examine it. Because that's a proper thing to do. We compare it to what God's word says. I thought this was such an encouraging word. I asked her to share this today, so thank you.
Okay, so during, we were in a prayer meeting for revival for Red Deer, and I was asking God for a word, and nothing was showing up. And then all of a sudden, when I kind of almost gave up, God showed me a vision. So the vision, I'll just tell you what it is, and then you guys can have your own interpretation. The vision, what I saw was a dry parched land, very rocky and barren. And as I was kind of like going, looking across it, God zeroed me in on a crack in the land. And the crack was opening slowly and just gradually opening up. And he showed me that it was a tomb that the earth has kind of made over top of God's people. In the tomb, when I when I looked in it, it was this, you just saw thousands upon thousands of people, and they were starting to come out, and the light that was shining out of them was just, it was so warm and beautiful and bright, like it just filled up the entire underneath, inside that tomb. And I mean, it was God's glory and his light shining out through the people that it was just flooding the place. And it was coming out, the people were starting to come out of the tomb and walk on the land. And the interpretation that I got from God was that it's a manifestation of what God wants to do here in the natural realm, that it's already taken place in the spirit realm. So that's it.
Thanks.
Thinking that maybe there's a few of us here today that you're just saying, I want that light to break through in my life right now. I see the cracks in my life, and I thought that those cracks just meant brokenness, that the cracks just reflected that I'm not whole. But as a matter of fact, those cracks are ways that the light of Jesus can shine through me. And the other thing that God really pressed on my heart earlier this morning was just that I think there's maybe some of us who are really worried about what other people think. I don't know if that's true for you today, but I want to pray for you today. If that's just as we start here, I know we do that usually at the end of the service, but all rules, all bets are off. Okay, so if today that's an issue in your life, that you're worried about what people think, or that you want the light of Jesus, you're praying for this. This is something that God's been already laying on your heart. I just want to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray about that. So anyone who wants to stand right now for prayer, stand for prayer. Are you okay to pray?
Sure.
I'll pray too. Okay. So God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Right now we declare that the only thing we care about is what you think, Lord. We just care about what you think. We're tired and we're sick of worrying about what other people say about us or think about us. The opinions of man have only been judgments. But the opinion of God is only grace and mercy. And we thank you for that. And as we stand today, we'd make this declaration that we're going to care a whole lot more about what you think than what our family or our friends or our neighbors or any of those people that we work with or any of that out there, God. We're not going to think about that anymore. Our heart's desire is to please you, God, not to please other people. We can't win that battle. We've been losing that war. And so in Jesus' name, we just respond to you today and say, God, we care about your heart, and we are seekers of your heart today in Jesus' name. Amanda, you pray too.
Lord, Lord, I just ask that you show everyone how you see them, Lord, in their heart of hearts, that you just allow your light to shine even brighter in within them and through them, Lord. I just pray that other people, when they start looking at us as believers, that they start seeing your love shine through us, Lord. And Lord, I just release your glory throughout all of your people. I just pray that it just becomes so overwhelming to people that it just starts drawing even the most lost people into you, Lord, and just show your love, Lord, in all of us.
Amen.
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Okay, the fun started already. This is good. Really good. Couple things just to remind you of. I want to remind you that we are continuing to pray for Amar and his family as we're trying to fill out all the paperwork and the documentation to get his family from Syria. Amar is from Iraq, and he lived under the Saddam Hussein regime, and his life was threatened. And in fact, there was a death. I don't know what you call that, but they were after him to kill him. He had to flee to Syria. And he's someone who is able to come to our church sometimes, and we know him quite well, and we just want to remember his family. So remember his family as we continue that process. It's kind of a long process, but it's really important. They're in Syria, and he has a wife and four children, and we look forward to the day to bring them when they're going to be here. A couple other things just to remember in your prayers are some of the people who are in the hospital. Sonny, from what I understand at least, I haven't heard otherwise, he's still in the hospital. So, yep, Sonny's in the hospital, and Dave is in the hospital, Painter Dave. What's his last name, Dave Rhino? Rhino, okay, something like that. He's in the hospital and not doing really well. He's in intensive care, so remember Dave. And Mel and Earl. Some of you remember Mel and Earl from years ago. Mel had surgery this week. She has some form of cancer, but they feel like they've removed it. And we've been able to visit back and forth a few times, so remember them too in our prayers, okay? So let's just not talk about it. Let's do it. So God, these are people who are sick, and you say that you make the sick well, so we're just going to stand on that promise today. And even for anyone who's here today and who's struggling with some kind of an ailment or a sickness or a cancer or disease, we ask you today that you'll just touch us and heal us and restore us, God, and even take the fears away. Sometimes we're so afraid of sickness or death or what's coming down the road, God. We don't know what's coming down the road, but we know that you'll be there down the road with us. So remember those that we've mentioned, and also we pray for Amar and his family that it won't be long, and we'll be able to worship with them here in this place in the freedom that we enjoy in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, just before I open up God's word and I want to share a message, I'm kind of setting the table here. So I'm just letting you know that after this message, there's going to be an opportunity for prayer for you. And sometimes we've done this. Some people call it a tunnel of fire, and we have three or four people standing on either side. And we just, it's not crazy. It's not nuts. Okay, maybe it's a little bit, but, you know, it's basically, you know, we come and walk. We're just going to invite you to come and walk down the middle, and there'll be about eight people on the sides just praying for you. And there'll be someone that might have a word for you. That's why we have more than one person praying, and someone who might say, you know, God has really had you in my heart, and I want you to know this, or I want to share this with you. So it will not be overwhelming. Don't be intimidated by this, but I just want you to know this is coming. So I'm setting the table saying get ready for it, because if God's calling you to come forward, come forward. No one's going to make you do anything but just receive prayer. And for this, I want to ask, and again, I prayed about this morning and just asked God for some names of some people who would come. So Ted, Marnie, would you be part of that? Would you just stand up here? And Don and Marg and Darcy's gone now, eh? Oh, there he is, Darcy and Crystal. So that gives us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and Alvin and Kathy. So if we just, four people on this side, four people on that side, I'm going to grab my guitar, just play quietly. If you got to go, go. But if you want, if God's saying something to you through this message, or maybe, you know, you're coming to church today going, I need something from God. I don't even need to hear the message. I know that I need to come to God. That's what this is about. I prefer to call it splitting the sea. You know, I don't call it the tunnel of fire. I think it's more like, hey, we're splitting the sea. And when I walk through that, it's like I'm walking through dry ground, right? And that's kind of the idea of it. You walk through dry ground, I am no longer going to be sinking in the mud. I am sick and tired of sinking in the mud. I want to walk through dry ground. He leads the way through the dry ground. Amen? Okay, so where we were, and don't get worried. I know you guys are probably going, man, he preached 5 or 6 times on that high priest thing, and he had the curtain. I'm glad that's done. I got kind of bad news for you. I got kind of good news for you. I never know when I'm totally done. So I'm not going to do the curtain. I'm not going to bring the priest thing where everyone, you know, no, I still have that thing if anyone wants to buy one. But I'm still thinking about the priesthood, and my heart and my studies have been a lot in that whole idea of, you know, the Holy of Holies, and that the high priest would go back in the Holy of Holies, and he would offer incense, and he would pray for the people, and while that was going on, all the other priests were waiting for him to come out, and that he interceded for all of the people. And that one of the things we learned in the last number of weeks is that we're all priests. Anyone remember that from last time? You are a priest. So you can go down the street if you want. You can tell people, I'm a priest. And they go, really? What seminary did you go to? I didn't need to go to a seminary. I am declared a priest in God's word. He says that we are all prophets and priests and kings. And you are a royal priesthood, he says to you. So that means that we're able to minister to each other. That means we're able to share with each other. We can speak peace into each other's lives. We can share hope. It's such a crazy good thing, right? I mean, you're actually a priest. You don't need me. And I've said that lots of times. You don't need me. You got the Holy Spirit. I know you're good. Okay, I'm glad you still need me a little bit, but you have the Holy Spirit. You have truth. You know what the truth is. So just go out and do what it says to do. And it says that we ought to be priests, and that by being priests, we minister to each other. We can even offer forgiveness, just like a priest does. You can say to someone, because it's based on the Word of God, if you repent and you ask for forgiveness, you are. It's done deal. You're forgiven. It's cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read this from Titus, first of all, and I'll get to this. I don't know if you saw that email this morning or not, Tim, but I'm doing Titus first. So Titus chapter 2, verse 11 is, and I'm not going to really explain it too much yet. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But here we go. For the grace of God, Titus 2, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing, I want to say that again because this is what we're talking about today. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Amen? We are eager to do what is good, and especially the part here about while we wait. We're waiting. While we wait for this blessed hope, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I've been thinking about, because of all this study on the priesthood and on the high priest who would go back and offer the incense and the prayers for the people, I've been thinking about what it must have been like way back in the time of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were John the Baptist's parents. And if you have your Bibles again, Luke chapter 1, I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of Luke chapter 1, but there we have that story about Zechariah, who was the priest. He was an older priest. He was esteemed. And he and his wife, Elizabeth, had wanted a child all of their lives, but now they were old. It says that two or three times in the scriptures that they were aged. They were way past childbearing years. They were old. I don't know how old they were because it doesn't say, but we can guess that they were 70, 80. I don't know. What do you think old is? I think old is 80. You know, some people think that my age is old. But one thing for sure is that these two were old. These two were old, and they had not had any children. Even though they prayed for children, they were not granted that prayer, and it was a really hard thing for them. And so for all of their lives, they prayed that prayer. Lord, we want to have a child. That was a big deal in those days. It still is today. Lord, we want a child. But month after month, there was disappointment. And there were no children, but they continued to serve God. And this particular day, Zechariah drew a lot to go and be the chosen priest to go back into the temple or back by the curtain and to do the sacrifices, right? It was his turn. And what happened is an angel, I'm just kind of telling the story because I don't want to read the whole thing, but the angel appeared to him and said, Zechariah, I know that you've been praying. We know that you're faithful. And I want you to know that you're going to have a baby, that your wife is going to bear a child. And here's what we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 18. And Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. By the way, guys, you shouldn't say that about your wives. Okay? Find a nicer way to put it. I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. And now just listen to these words. And meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. I'm going to read that one more time. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah And they were wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And I guess so, right? I thought about that verse. I'm going, yeah, I guess so. I mean, all the other priesthood and all the people who are waiting for this ceremony, this religious rite to take place, all the other priests, you know, they're kind of just doing this. Where you know, Zechariah, it was his turn, and he goes and does this thing. But this normally doesn't take very long. And they're waiting for him, and they're going, well, what's the deal? Where's Zechariah? He should have been out a long time ago. And, well, I guess we better wait. Let's just wait a little longer. You ever been in that situation where you're waiting? You go, well, I don't know. Let's just wait a little more, I guess. And so they wait a little more. And they go, man, I don't know where he is. Hey, did the curtain just move? Did you see the curtain move? No, he's not coming. Where? What's he doing? What if he's dead? Because that happens sometimes. Sometimes a priest would go in and he wasn't worthy, or he had sinned, or he was proud. And sometimes he'd die right there before the face of God. And so that thought probably came to some of them. And they probably thought, well, you know, he could be dead. Man, I wish we had tied his leg with a rope. Yeah. Right? We could have at least hauled him out of there. Now what? Who's going to go? I'm not going. I mean, if he's dead, I'm not going because I might be the next guy dead, right? So let's just wait. Did you see the curtain move? Is he coming? No. Not coming. Wow. What could he be doing? What's going on here? Why is this taking so long? When's he going to come out? And they waited. And they waited. And we know from the scriptures that what was going on is that there's an angel named Gabriel who was talking to Zechariah. And when that happens, you just sit and you listen to the angel. You don't try to hurry things along so that you get back to the guys, right? And probably, after the angel left, I can imagine if I'm Zechariah and I'm 70 or 80 years old and God's told me I'm going to have a baby, I'm probably doing this. You gotta be kidding me. What? Did I really see that? Right? Did that really happen? I mean, I can well imagine that Zechariah sat there for half an hour going, right? Like, if it was me, I might have vomited, you know? Like, whatever. Who knows? We don't know exactly what happened. But the point I'm making is that those guys, they all had to wait for him to come out. And that apparently was quite a long wait because they waited and they waited. And it says that meanwhile, all the rest of the priesthood and all the people who were there, you know, for that particular event, they waited for Zechariah to come, but he didn't come. And I was just thinking about that in terms of how it's really true for us today in a sort of a microcosm, macrocosm kind of way, big and small, that we're waiting for Jesus kind of the same way, you know. We're going, where is he? I'm waiting for the high priest. I'm waiting for the priest to, I'm waiting for Jesus to come back through the curtain one more time. We know he's going to return. And sometimes if you're like me, we wait for him and we go, where is he? I thought, man, by now, I mean, even the disciples didn't think it was going to be that long. You know, they thought he would be probably returning in their own lifetime. Well, this has been a couple thousand years, and we're going, I wonder where he is. Did you see the curtain move? Is that him? We're waiting. I don't know about you. Like, I want Jesus to come. There's times in my day, times in my life, in my week, I get sick of what's going on in the world. Yesterday, walking out of the kitchen, and there's a girl laying there like she's 20 years old, and she's doing this, and she's overdosing from heroin again. Like, I've seen her do this a number of times. And I walk away with Crystal, and I don't even know what to do. And I mean, she's not in danger, don't get me wrong, but it's just the same thing, right? The same routine. And we throw our hands up in the air, and we go, how long? Come on, God. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? When is this going to end? When is this going to stop? When is the trumpet going to resound? Because I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it, right? So in some ways, I understand what the other priests were going through, because in a lot of ways I'm waiting for the same thing as they were. When's the priest going to come out? When's Zechariah going to show up? When is Jesus going to take all this mess that we live in and redeem it? A couple of scriptures here in Timothy chapter 4. And it'll be on the screen. You can just read these with me. Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And these are scriptures about how we should be waiting and eager and excited, and that, you know, as a matter of fact, this coming of Jesus thing is really a big deal, and we should be really excited about it. Here's what Timothy says in verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have, now get this, longed, all who have longed for his appearing. Are you longing? Are you longing for his appearing? Because we should be. And I know sometimes we hang on to life, you know, pretty tightly. We go, you know, I kind of like living. I kind of like my grandkids. I'm liking where I live. But when we look at the bigger picture, I think there's other times when we go, oh man, I'm longing. I can't wait for Jesus to come. I am weary and I'm tired. I'm in a desert here. This is not my home. The crown of righteousness is for those who are longing for his appearing. Really, another way you could say that is it's for those of us who are just plain sick and tired of the brokenness. And I am. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He says something kind of similar. He says, and this is in Philippians 3, verse 20. He talks about where your passport really is, where your citizenship really is. Right, Joyce? It's in heaven, right? I'm just making sure you're listening. You got family, you know, you got friends here. We just want to make sure that you're on board here. Thinking's good, too. He says this, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. We eagerly await a Savior from there. I'm not dreading Jesus coming. I'm not hoping he just holds it off for a little while so that I can see what happens with the NHL this week, you know. I'm not doing that at all. I am eagerly awaiting the Savior's coming. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly body so that we will have and be like his glorious body. And then the passage I read earlier from Titus really says it well. I'll just read it quickly. You read it before. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's where you say, amen.
Amen.
I'll try it again. Amen.
Amen.
That's good. We wait for the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. Jesus, one day the trumpet is going to sound and he's going to descend in the clouds, and I don't care when you think the rapture is going to happen. We're going to get raptured, whether it's now or later or before or after, but we're going to be brought to a heavenly kingdom where Jesus Christ is going to be what he is now, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he's going to demonstrate that in such wonderful ways. His glorious appearing, and there will be, yeah, there will be, you can clap while I talk, no tears, no cancer, no AIDS, no addiction, no brokenness, no divorce. There will be peace with God. There will be peace with God. You know, the old song says, the clouds will be rolled back like a scroll. The trump will resound and the Lord shall descend. It is well. It is well with my soul. I got news for you. The trump has resounded. In the States, at least. I don't know if that's what it means, but... okay, bad joke. But the real trump is going to be a trumpet. Not blowing its own horn, blowing the horn of God, right? Man, I'm looking forward to that. The day is coming. It's coming soon when the trumpet of God will resound and the dead in Christ will be raised and Jesus Christ is going to be bringing us home. This is not my home. My citizenship is in a different kingdom. A different kingdom. Amen? But let me tell you something, and kind of hang in there with me here a bit. The waiting room is a hard place to be, and that's where we are right now. Just like those priests were kind of huddled around in the waiting room going, I wonder when he's going to come out. Did you see the curtain move? No, I didn't either. Right? I wonder when he's going to come. The waiting room, we're in a period of time right now, it's kind of like a waiting room. And the Bible says the last thing we should be doing is twiddling our thumbs. We should be busy. We should be even praying. Don't just pray. Pray and work, he says. Praying's good. I like it that you pray, but there's more to do. You know, pray. If you're going to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more workers, right? Amen. But this is a hard place to be. This is a waiting room. Waiting rooms are always hard places to be. I was in the emergency this week, just happened to be visiting Sunny, actually, and I ran into two other people that I knew in the emergency room. That's a waiting room, and if you've been there before, it's a hard place to be, man. People are sick. There was a guy who was dressed in a doctor. I didn't, wasn't my business to figure this out, but he had the stethoscope, and he was laying on a couple. He was sick in the emergency room, and he actually said to the nurse, could I just lay on the floor? We're all going, man, if the doctors are sick in here, I don't know if I want to be here, you know? And nurse said, you could lay on the bench, you could lay on the floor. So he just laid on the floor. And I mean, there are other people in the waiting room. They were crying. There was two police officers interrogating another guy off into a different room, and he was yelling, and they were yelling back. Like, it was an ugly, awful, terrible place to be. And the reality is, like, that's what it's like. When you're in that emergency, I don't like going to emergency. I don't think anyone does. No one ever says, oh, goody. I hope it's full of people today when I go. I hope there's lots of folks I can meet. I don't think, we all go, man, if I go, I go, man, I hope there's nobody there. I'm going to wait till, like, you can't wait. You never can predict, right? I'm just saying today that waiting for Christ to come in the kingdom that we are in now, even though he is the Lord and he is the king, this is an awful place to be some days because people are dying, because people are killing people, because right now there's greater starvation in parts of the world than we've ever seen before, because there's disease and there's threats of death, because these are terrible times, and I want to remind you that that's exactly what the Bible said it would be. Again, back in Timothy chapter 4, for a time will come, Timothy says, this is going to happen when you're in the waiting room. A time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, instead to suit their own desire, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That's true. That's true today. We want to have teachers around us, not to challenge us, not to exhort us, not to point us in the way of truth. We just want people to tell us what we want to hear. Just tell me some good news and sugarcoat it a bit and just send me on my way. But that's exactly what Paul said when he wrote this. He said, the time's going to come when people are not going to be interested in the truth anymore. They won't be interested in living the truth. They won't be interested in being challenged by the truth either. And then earlier on in chapter 3, he really gets specific about it. In chapter 3, verse 1, and he paints a picture of what this waiting room looks like. So listen to this. But mark this, he says. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. There will be terrible times in those last days. People will be unforgiving and slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure. Does that sound anything like the world we're living in? Does anyone else go, yeah, I kind of recognize the waiting room here? There's six of us. Good. That's good. Rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, And then I want you just to, the last, sometimes in the Greek, sometimes they would say the last thing would be the thing that would be the most important. So it's kind of like it builds up. It's a crescendo. It builds up to the sort of the pinnacle of what Paul really wants to point out. And he says, here's the last thing I want to say about the waiting room, that in the waiting room, there will be terrible times in these last days because people will be having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And you know, honestly, you understand that I could preach about that for hours and hours and days, just, you know, all those things. But let's look at just for a moment the last part of that. That they understand godliness, or they understand religion. They have a form of it. There's a certain way of the way they're going about things with rituals and their traditions. They have a form of religion or godliness, but they do not believe in the power of God. And it's the Holy Spirit, because in Acts 1 verse 8, he says, when you receive the Holy Spirit. See, here's the problem with that, because it is the problem with people who stand up today and say, I don't really believe in the power of God, is that they don't realize what Acts 1 verse 8 says, and that is, when you receive the power, you'll receive the Spirit. So we have this power. And I know we all go, oh, I believe in the power of God. I mean, anyone here not believe in the power of God, you wouldn't be here, right? But do we really? Like, here's the question. Do we really believe in the power of God? Do we really believe he's got the power to heal? Do we really believe that he's got the power to change lives? Do we really believe that some of the people here today who've brought in the burdens and the problems and the struggles, whatever those issues are, that actually God actually can do something about this? Because it's easy to give assent to this and nod our heads and go, oh, amen, yeah, I believe that God's powerful. Go, God. But to really live this is not as easy. And in a way, jumping back now to Zechariah, in a way, this is what Zechariah's problem was. He had a form of godliness, but he did not believe, he did not hold to the power of God. Because when the angel said to him, you're going to have a baby, he doubted it. And I would have too. Like, I'm not trying to put him down. I think most of us would have struggled with that. But here's the issue we're talking about today. That we have a whole church. We have churches. We have Christians. Lots of people who are religious and who maybe read their Bibles and who say all kinds of things. And again, maybe we're part of this. Maybe this is a challenge to all of us, including me, that we have a form of godliness, but we deny its power. I grew up in a church where, and I've been thinking about that this week, I grew up in a church where really we kind of left Jesus in the grave. I mean, we believed that he was risen, but when it came to the power of God, in reality, in actuality, we left him in the grave. Because my Jesus, the Jesus I grew up with when I was a boy, was hibernating. He was like a bear. He was hibernating. And we believed he was going to come again, and we believed that he's risen, but the resurrection really didn't have any effect on my life until he came again. When he comes again, oh, he's going to show the power. But in the meantime, we're all going to just have to, you know, be beaten up. We're going to be beaten up, and it's going to be, you know, the enemy's going to win, and my God is just hibernating. It's like he might as well have stayed in the grave. But the Bible says that this Jesus that I proclaim to you today is a God of all power. And that he's alive, he is resurrected from the dead, and that we have to have not just a form of godliness, we need to believe in the power of God. And that's what I want to do, and I'm not saying I do it well, because I don't do it well. I struggle with this, I doubt, and I pray, and my prayers don't always get answered, but just because we don't always see the power of God the way we want to see the power of God, it doesn't mean he isn't all-powerful. He remains God. He is all-powerful. He can do whatever he needs to do. And so we need to pray with that power and with that faith. Even when I don't feel like it, even when my track record of, you know, all the prayers being answered and all the, you know, maybe it's not all that great. Although I got to say, you know, there are lots of things, when I think about this in my life, there are some amazing miracles I have witnessed. I've seen lives changed. I've seen a little Bible study grow into a soup kitchen in a church. I've seen the move of God. I've seen people free from addiction, free from sin, free from, I've seen lots. I just want more, I guess is what I'm saying. When I look back, I go, okay, I can point those things out. I just want more of that. I want more of that. But the Bible says that in the end times, it'll be terrible. And the waiting room will be filled with all kinds of people who are well-intentioned. These are good people. These are educated people. These are religious people. But they deny the power of God. And so I'm asking you today, even if we're not good at this, I'm asking you today to agree with me that we are not going to deny the power of God. Can you do that? No longer going to deny the power of God. And one of the ways we do that is just by expecting God to do nothing. See, I mean, we go to church, I don't expect God to do nothing, and guess what? I got exactly what I asked for. Right? I mean, when you do that, you're denying the power of God. God has great power. God can change a heart. God can raise someone from the dead. Right? And if we got to believe it, we got to speak it out. Right? And if we come here, or if we live our lives even, with no expectation of anything ever happening, we're going to get exactly that. Exactly. That's not good enough. And so we just declared together, we declared that we are going to believe in the power of God. We're not going to deny it. Okay, here we go, here we go. Yeah. Woo-hoo! A few hoo-hoos. Woo-hoo! I thought she'd give me a high five. I was right down, she pulled it down. We're not going to deny the power of God. And there's some of us who are here today who need the power of God. You need the power of God. There's something going on in your life that needs to change. There's an old, you're in a desert, you're struggling, you're hurting, right? I mean, I don't believe that I'm the only one here crying out, how long? How long, O Lord? Right? Are you crying out that cry? How long? God, I'm tired. How long before you come? Lord, you are the King. This is your kingdom. These are your people whom you love. Save us. Deliver us, Lord. How long? Brother Paulin, I know you cry out. I mean, you're 63, right? Okay, I undershot it. It's always better to go down than up. I learned that. That's one of the things you learn in seminary. You're 64 years old. I'm sure, and I know, because I know you, that as many times you said, how long, O Lord, will I be working at Holy Mill? How long? And your wife, to me, how long am I going to struggle with this knee? Right? How long before my knee gets healed? Why don't, you know, some of you are shaking your heads at me going, well, he's picking people out of the crowd now. Well, why not? How long? Like, how long, Lord, how long is my son going to keep wandering from you? Why can't I cry out that cry? How long am I going to see addicts on the street dying and nobody caring? How long? Because I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. How long, God? How long is there going to be injustice in this world where the rich just get richer and richer and the poor have nothing? How long is this going to go on for, God? Because we're crying out to you. Only you can do anything about this. How long? How long are we going to be feeding people? How long? Is this going to keep going on that they get paid on the 24th of the month and they have no more money by the 26th of the month because we just keep throwing money at this? How long is this going to happen? How long? How long are we going to limp along? Because you said, God, you said that when we receive the Spirit, we receive the power with it. How long will my enemies, maybe this, some of you will relate to this one, how long will my enemies continue to triumph over me? How long, Lord, until you restore me, oh God? How long must we live this way? And I have an answer for you, by the way. So just wait for it. I think I think this is a great question. This is a question that Christians have asked for hundreds and even thousands of years now. How long? God, here we are. When is the curtain going to move? When is he going to come? When is this going to get better? When are we going to experience the full redemption of Jesus Christ? And the answer is this. Just give me a second. I'm going to get to it. Because, you know, I hope that you're thinking about this question yourself. It doesn't do you any good to hear my how longs. All I sound like is just some guy who's whining. You have your own how longs. And that's what you should be thinking about. How long am I going to have this situation? How long am I going to have this sickness? How long am I going to have this struggle in my life? How long is this going to go on? That's really the question today. It isn't a question about what I think is going to take a long time, but what's going on in your life. How long am I going to be this poor? How long am I going to be without a house? How long is this going to go on? And here's the answer. Just sit for a sec, okay, Jay? Thank you, buddy. I know you're going, how long is he going to preach for? It's a good question. It's a fair question. Okay, so here we go. Here's the answer to the question. And, you know, before I get to it, I'm not trying to delay this, but here's why we're going to come and be ministered to today, because there's something in your life that we need to pray for. We need to believe in the power of God. How long, oh God, it's time that we rest our hands on people and pray for them and say, this is the end of it. Today is the day. We are going to believe. We are not going to deny the power of God. Some of you have never received Christ as your Savior. You can do that as you come through here, if you want. Or maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As you're coming through, just ask for it. Say, you know what? I don't think I've ever received the full baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just let us pray for you. It's not weird. It's just biblical. Just ask. Just what you ask for, okay? Okay. Here we go. Here's the answer then. And it's in Hebrews. Again, it's answering your question of how long. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it starts. And he says this, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." Now get this. "For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and he will not delay." Let's read that together. "For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." I get a lot of comfort out of that. That excites. That's like someone saying, Zechariah is like a war, like someone coming out of the curtain saying, he's almost coming. It's not going to be long now. He's nearly done, right? And I want you to understand something here. It doesn't say this. "For in just a very little while, he will come." It doesn't say that. Does it? No, it says, "For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come, and he will not delay." In those two words, very little while. Not in just a while, but in a very little while. I'm glad it doesn't say, "For in a while, he who is coming will come." It says, "In just a very little while, he who is coming is come." Listen, God loves you. We're building a community here of people who love each other and who want to go out and proclaim that the Lordship of Jesus Christ can change people's lives forever. We're here to proclaim that there is hope for anyone who'll come to Jesus. Anyone. And in a very little while, Jesus is coming. One day, there's going to be a trumpet, and it's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound from every corner of the earth. It's got to be something else. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to know that it is the day of God's redemption. I'm going to ask you all to stand up right now. Let's stand up. And I've asked you to think about the question, what are you waiting for? So just close your eyes a sec, okay? Just as we get prepared here, I want you to close your eyes and think about what is it that you're really waiting for. Maybe your answer is Jesus. That's okay. Or maybe you're waiting for someone to come to the Lord that you love. Maybe you're waiting for something specific. You want to be free of something. There are some of you here today, you need to be free. And you're saying, you know, I'm waiting to be free of the drugs, free of the depression, free of the suicidal thoughts. Just think about it for a sec. Now I want you to just turn to the person beside you. You don't need to. This might be tough, but if you're able to, turn to the person beside you and say, you know, here's what I'm waiting for. And go ahead, do that right now. Okay, and then there's one more little thing. If you're able, if you're comfortable with this, just put your hand on the person next to you and just say a quick prayer. God, you know what we're waiting for. God, you know what we're waiting for. You can pray it right now. I'm going to pray it out loud for those of you who can't pray. God, you know what we're waiting for. You know what we struggle with. Thank you, Jesus. We wait. We wait for wholeness today. We wait for peace today. We wait for healing today. We wait for hope today, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask the 8 people that I asked before to come to the front. And while they're doing that, I just want to make one last little point. And it's kind of, I think it's kind of important, kind of significant. So why don't we just, you guys come and make the little split C thing going. Just one sec, okay? Hear this. One of the reasons, actually one of the main reasons why they were waiting for Zechariah to come out. One of the reasons why they're waiting for the priest to come out is for the Aaronic blessing. And that is not ironic, it's Aaronic, which means the priest would come out after he had met with the Lord, after he'd offered the sacrifices and the prayers. He would come out and he'd raise his hands and he would do what I do every Sunday. Here is the Aaronic blessing. The priest would sing this. He'd go, "May the Lord bless you and keep you." I'm not going to sing it. "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." I'm encouraging you today to go down the middle. There's already a row of people there. I'm going to sing quietly, and it's going to be quiet because we want to be able to hear the prayers. But don't leave. Don't leave until God says it's time to leave. Moved by the sound of his voice, seas that are stoken and stirred, call me restless for my God. Through it all, my eyes. through it all, it is well. Through it all, through it all.